Hello everyone, welcome to today's episode of Your Data HQ. In our Data and AI Startup series of podcasts, we have Sailesh Manjrekar from Cloud Fabrics here with us today. So Sailesh, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, your role at Cloud Fabrics, and what Cloud Fabrics does.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Sanjana. Thanks for bringing me over on this podcast. It's a pleasure. So Cloud Fabrics is a company primarily focused around data automation and data intelligence. We are the inventor of what we call robotic data automation fabric platform and a leading AI apps vendor based here in East Bay in Silicon Valley. And I am the chief marketing officer here and primarily been in the industry for over 20 plus years. Last 5 or 6 years, primarily been involved with various aspects of AI ML. I've been a head of AI ML for my previous two startups. The previous one got sold to NVIDIA, and have seen the evolution primarily from, you know, big data analytics to AI ML to deep learning and so on. And would be happy to provide you more details as we go along.
Awesome. Thanks for that. Thanks for being here. So tell us about an interesting problem that you're solving using AI and ML.
Yeah, so let me kind of step back and tell you, also, as I said, I've been involved with AI ML for some time. And I saw, very expensive infrastructure like GPUs and flash storage and so on being used to solve some of the really regulated use cases with AI ML, right? So I was very closely involved where, deep learning was primarily used to diagnose, cancer, right? Cancer anomalies, right? For example, you probably must have heard about the AlphaFold problem where the deep learning model was able to talk about, the protein folding problem, which was kind of unsolved for several years, right? I saw AI ML and deep learning been used in fintech, where you are looking at use cases like anti-money laundering and so on. I also saw it been used for autonomous vehicles and so on and so forth. So these were really use cases which were regulated, and they had really a deep social impact. For example, think about an autonomous vehicle turning left when it is supposed to turn right. It could very well kill some person, right? So AI ML had that power, and I was very effectively able to see the effect or the transformative output coming, or the outcome coming out of that. However, what remained unsolved was really how do you operationalize this, right? How do you do this at scale, right? Doing a POC or doing a small project is one thing, and then operationalizing it at scale to actually solve a business problem is another thing, right? And that is where I looked at actually the opportunity to use AI ML to actually operationalize this, because when you're putting AI ML in real practice, it's not in silo. It's really in the context of your data center. It's in the context of your larger IT environment. And how do you leverage AI ML for actually the betterment of that entire pipeline, right, which can span across several EC2 instances, GPU instances, and storage and networking. And it's becoming so more complex where, the infrastructure is now being deployed as a core, right? Things are ephemeral and so on and so forth. And that was the opportunity I saw, which was a broader opportunity where AI ML could be applied to solve those problems, right? So that is how I landed at Cloud Fabrics. Having said that, as we kind of embarked on our AI ops journey, we quickly realized that, hey, AI ML is only as good as the data at hand. Okay. So, to highlight, there were three primary problems which we saw with data. So the first and foremost was, the data quality issues. Mm-hmm. So data scientists and whoever are working with AI ML were spending almost 80% of their time just preparing that data, right? So that was the first challenge. The second challenge was around skills gap. Not many people were well acquainted with, how to solve this data quality issues or how to even use AI ML in pipelines, right? Not everybody is familiar with TensorFlow and Keras and so on. And the third challenge we saw was around data silos. So all of this data was actually spread across different geographic locations at the edge, right? Edge becoming really big and so on. So that was the genesis of our robotic data automation fabric platform, okay? And this particular is, it's a patent pending, really, you know, the cutting edge kind of revolution, right? Which is targeted to address this particular three problems, right? So, and how we address that is, so the data quality issue, what we do is we do this through data automation. So ours is a streaming platform where we are able to connect to disparate data sources. We're able to bring all of that data. We are able to normalize it. We are able to enrich that data and then leverage it for AIML. So that's how we solve the first problem. The second problem we solve, the skills gap, is through a low-code, no-code environment. That means we have an ecosystem of a marketplace of 1,000 bots, which we have developed. We also have an open source ecosystem where anybody, any partner can come in and develop those bots. So now you can cater to the citizen developer, right? You don't have to be really knowledgeable about Python and TensorFlow and so on. And the third challenge we solve through a data fabric. So this is really a streaming data fabric, which can be geographically dispersed. It can be even at the edge. You can just run a Docker Compose image and connect all of those data silos to be able to make holistic decision about your data. So I think that's kind of, it was a long answer to your question, but kind of hopefully gave you insight into, you know, what's the problem we are trying to solve.
Yeah, it gave a very good insight into like the experience that you bring. You did talk about several deep problems, especially very data intensive problems that only AI can solve. And also you gave a very good picture, or you rather painted a very good picture on, you know, how Cloud Fabrics plays its crucial role in enabling like a self-sustaining data ecosystem of sorts. Like you said, it starts from the data, and then there's, you can leverage AI. But then to get that full benefit of AI, you have to go back to make sure that the data is all right. I hope, you know, that was a good summarization of what you just said. Yeah.
No, I think that's a good way of summarizing it. Yeah.
Awesome. So how can you give a little bit more insights into like how exactly is AI leveraged into this process?
Yeah, so we actually... So think of AI ops is really, you have an ML ops environment and a data ops environment built in into the platform. So what happens is we can take this streaming data and we can do a number of learnings, right? You can do supervised learning, you can do unsupervised learning, you can do federated learning, you can do transfer learning. So all of that is possible with the platform. But as you see, right, where the industry is going, so there is this concept of data-centric AI, right? And we have adopted that, and we actually call our platform as a data-centric AI ops platform. And what that really means is, you know, AI ML models are becoming a commodity now, right? So obviously, there is a lot of progression being made, right? And the only now progression is on the higher end of things, like, you know, you see GPT-3, GPT-4, and so on, right, with several billion hyperparameters and so on. So those models, I mean, there are companies like OpenAI and Hugging Face and so on, already doing a lot of innovation in those areas, right? How do you democratize all of that? It really comes down to actually taking the data and putting the data in order, right? Which was the first challenge I talked about. Okay, and that's what we are more focused around. So obviously we have our own models, but we also leverage the ecosystem around OpenAI, we leverage IBM Watson, we leverage Hugging Face, we leverage SageMaker, right? To be able to use the right model for doing the right thing. Like for example, if you're doing regression analysis, you'll be doing one kind of model versus a classification and clustering of alerts, for example, right? If your primary regression is used for metrics and creating anomaly detection and using predictive analytics. So what we do is we create a baseline, a dynamic baseline, and then you are able to forecast anomalies. You can look at seasonalities. You can look at, on an anomaly, how do you provide an alert or an Slack notification or a pager duty notification and so on and so forth, right? So it's really the whole nine yard, but the good part about the AIOps aspect, if you compare it with MLOps is you don't really need a data scientist to work all of this, right? So this is already built in into the platform. We choose the right model for the right work. Obviously, you have the option of overriding that, right? And once the model is trained and you're putting it into deployment, you also have the option of, because IT environment is never static, right? It's always changing. So now when the change happens, how do you retrain their model? Right, so that's another aspect of what we call continuous ML, right? So you're always learning and you're always training through this, right? Another innovation what we have in the platform is what we call pipeline synthesis. So a lot of the times, right, customers, it's an uphill battle to actually show the trust, right? Trust becomes a big part of it, right? So clearly our platform uses explainable AI. We have auditability, we have reproducibility. But this pipeline synthesis actually allows you to create a fault in the environment, right? So for example, if you want to simulate a fault with web server, or you want to simulate a fault with Kafka or a database issue, you can simulate that fault and see how your pipelines and composable dashboards are actually working. Okay, so that's a very powerful feature to develop trust. So yeah, so that's how we actually leverage AI.
Got it. And I think you covered a very important topic, which we've been talking about or leaning towards in your data HQ so far, which is standardization, right? Like we really need to standardize, because right now the data and AI community is going in every direction possible. So what is your view on the standardization of monitoring and reporting?
Yeah, so particularly in the AI ops kind of landscape, right? So you see, and the observability landscape, people are talking about standardization, because what happens is one of the challenges with AI ops and observability is there is this disparate tools, right? You have to cover the entire stack, and each of these tools have their own formats and so on and so forth, which makes it very easy to normalize that data and be able to derive actionable intelligence. So there are industry standards, like, you know, you might have heard about OpenTelemetry, OTL standards, right? Or even in the security aspect, there are standards like OCSF, which is now an emerging standard, what they call Open Cybersecurity Framework. Okay. Mm-hmm. But having said all of this, it's always easy said than done, right? Because when it comes to standard, there are legacy applications. There are not all the applications are cloud native, right? So there are enterprise applications and so on. And that is where precisely, you know, our RDF framework comes into to add value, right? So we are able to take all of this, even though you're not adhering to some of this open standard and open format. If you are, then we'll certainly use that. But if you're not, then we have the ability to actually look into the data, being able to transform that data, normalize that data, enrich that data, and so on and so forth. Okay, so that's where I see over a period of next decade or so, we're looking forward to some standardization, but it's not quite there today.
Got it. So I think this is a question that sort of makes sense to ask somebody who's as experienced as you. The whole thing about this data and ML community is just the non-deterministic nature in general, like the behavior changing with time and with the data, and with even within the same algorithm, different behaviors at different times, and that sort of drifting over time as well. So as somebody in your position, like, how do you measure the impact of your work and how do you communicate it effectively with other stakeholders?
Yeah, so that's a very good question, right? And one of the challenges with AIOps has been, how do you articulate the value of AIOps, right? And we recently launched a white paper around mm-hmm. what we're calling an AIOps operating model. So clearly, there is the cloud operating model, which is well understood, right, and which has been on the transformation path for last couple of years, right? But what the cloud operating model has done, it has become, it has made the the data center environment so complex. Like, for example, if you look at the application layer, so it's all based on now CI/CD pipelines. Okay, you look at all of these applications, they are either containerized, right, driven by Kubernetes, there is service meshes, right, there is infrastructure, actually, you know, compute, networking, and storage, which is now ephemeral in nature, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, the compute part is really driven by systems coming on online on the fly and being able to taking them down, right? The security aspect is really based on now identity management, right? As opposed to the IP-based networking and so on. If you look at really networking, it's all based on services, right? So this really causes what we call a butterfly effect. And what that means is even a small change in your environment can have a catastrophic effect. Okay. So that is where AIOps comes in. And in order to articulate the value of AIOps, this white paper actually talks about some of the problems, what we talked about, but mm-hmm. it also kind of narrows it down to 4 or 5 use cases, right? That, hey, being able to measure if you are able to reduce your incident volume by an X percent, what is your gain over year 1, year 2, year 3? If you are able to bring in better visibility into your application environment, right? Application downtime clearly affects bottom line and top line, right? So how do you measure that? If you are able to kind of reduce the noise across all of these observability tools, right? Find out what is the one which is causing most noise and which is not actionable. You can retire some of these legacy applications, right? So out of this, we have formulated a business case, which you can look at that white paper in more detail, which talks about, hey, net present value and what is the ROI over a 3-year period. And it's really mind-boggling, the kind of ROI you can expect out of technologies like AIOps. Okay. So I would encourage your audience to take a look at our website and download that white paper. But that's a very important aspect of how you would really embark on this AIOps journey, or what we call embark on this autonomous enterprise journey.
Got it. We'll definitely link to this white paper in the description of this episode. So thank you for pointing that out. So finally, like, what do you envision for the data and AI visions of Cloud Fabrics in the upcoming future? And are you looking for data professionals to join your team?
Yeah, so this is a very exciting times. We clearly are seeing the AI ops market getting more and more kind of mature, right? And the way we see this is, right, so you have the observability market, which is all rage, okay? But observability is still siloed because it's very domain specific, mm-hmm. okay? So how do you bring all of this domain specific knowledge cohesively into a single pane of glass where you're able to actually take action, derive actionable insights is what AIOps does. So there is observability, there is security, right? Because security also needs a lot of this context, right? You cannot expect security analytics or same tools to look at all of this data deluge and take action. So you only need to be able to put actionable data into a SIEM or a security analytics platform. And the third bucket, as I say it, is this emergence of FinOps. FinOps is really the ability to look at all of your assets, okay, and being able to put them into a utilization bucket or a monetary bucket, right? Bringing finance and DevOps together. So those are the three buckets which we expect to unify with the data fabric and the data platform what we have. Okay, so we are very excited for the future, and we see a big role for AI ops and particularly AI to play into this operational intelligence world. And as far as a data professional, so yes, we are hiring. So if you are a data scientist, if you are a data engineer, or an IT ops engineer, feel free to reach out to us. Okay, and we'll be happy to chat.
Awesome! Thank you very much. Thank you for this very insightful, very in-depth podcast. And thanks for the listeners too.
Thanks, Anjana. I appreciate your time. Bye. See you.